You're listening to a Mudwit Media production. Mudwit Media. Near, far, wherever you are, it's still all going to end. How about you intro?
Okay, I can intro it. Hey everybody, and welcome to Jabberwocking, the show where we talk about a subject and we have a couple segments. We're going to figure out this intro. It's not too difficult, but this is the first episode, so these are kind of the first baby steps. I am one of your hosts, Dante.
There are no rules. Everything's okay.
There are no rules.
It can be crap. It's fine.
It can be whatever we want.
Oh, I just remembered the intro I had.
Okay. Do you want to try it?
No. Let's keep it rolling. I'll do the intro.
Do it. This is all right. We're in the episode now, but I want you to do the intro that you almost did. This is an alternate universe take.
Okay. Hello, welcome to Jabberwocking, the show with a weird name and vague topic that ensures that we will never be found by the algorithm. I'm your host,
Zach.
Yeah,
there we go.
And with me today is Dante.
There we go. All right, yeah. My name's Dante. That's Zach. And we are the hosts of Jabberwocking. Zach, do you want to briefly explain the name for people who think that we're an Alice in Wonderland podcast?
No, I think that's great.
Okay, cool.
If you think we're an Alice in Wonderland podcast and you came to listen to that, that's what we are. We're definitely that.
We're definitely that. Yeah.
We'll bring it up eventually.
Eventually we
probably will.
Yeah. All right.
And if you think we're something else, like you read something on Urban Dictionary and you just... Then yes, that's fine. Just
I've asked around a bit and apparently that's another thing. So don't look it up.
There's a name for everything. You can write gibberish at this point.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Also, that Urban Dictionary didn't seem like the real Urban Dictionary, so it was really weird.
It's a fake Urban Dictionary?
Yeah, it seemed like a bootleg Urban Dictionary.
A Furban.
Anyway, so Zach, this show has segments. And
yes.
Do you want to go on to the first one, which you are hosting?
Yes, today, this week, I am hosting Subject Unknown.
Plugging your headphones and turn it way up. We'll tell you something you didn't know. Pop culture and science are nonsense, here we got it all. Welcome to Subject Unknown.
And then we will pause. There'll be an intro. It'll be great.
Music.
The extremely talented Carlisle will be writing the intro and performing it live for us every week.
Live, yeah. In studio.
Yeah. We've captured him. We've given him a number of instruments, none of which he plays, but we assume he'll figure it out. So, but yeah. For those who don't know, which is everyone, including ourselves, Subject Unknown is the first segment of this podcast where one of the hosts, this week it's me, brings forward a subject or topic.
Some sort of topic.
And just
it's a very
goes
vague.
Into detail about
yeah.
it. Yeah, it can be anything.
And the other
and
one.
The other person has to keep up with the conversation, not knowing anything about
yep.
the
I am topic. Going in blind. I have no idea what Zach has prepared, and I'm excited.
So, this week on Subject Unknown, we're going to be talking about cashews.
Cashews?
Dante, yeah. I messaged him last night. I said, all right, I'm going to be honest. There's one subject that I just know like a weird amount on.
What?
And I don't know why I know so much about this, but I know like
what?
This.
Why do you, know? Okay. All right, let's get...
No, I'm going to limit the first off. I have... So much to talk about, and it's going to blow your mind.
Like, all right.
If you don't know anything about cashews, you should stay.
I'm prepared because I like cashews, so let's go. Cashews
okay.
are great.
So, did you know the cashew, as we like to call it, the cashew nut, as we like to call it, it originates from the cashew tree. By the way, I do want to point out that one week, I do want one of us to just, like, lie. Just be completely dishonest about everything we're saying and just make up a whole bunch of fake facts.
Yeah. It'll be the episode we do on Star Wars.
Yeah. So it comes from the cashew tree. And on the cashew tree grows the cashew apple.
Okay, I knew about the cashew tree, but this apple is blowing my mind a little bit.
Okay.
I wanted to, like, I want to Google this. And I want to see,
I'm not messing with you.
I know. I want it to be in the shape of a cashew, and I know I'm going to be disappointed.
You might not be.
All right, hold on. Cashew
apple.
All right, hold on. Now I want cashew apple juice because that seems cool.
It's actually, they actually use it to distill alcohol, but we'll get.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's cool. Yeah, it's like a little bell for people who aren't looking. And it comes in red and yellow. Kind of looks like a pepper, to be honest, like a bell pepper.
It does, or like a squash.
Yeah.
It kind of does, yeah. And then at the bottom, you have that little sack. That's where the cashew seed is held.
Okay.
And the cashew seed is actually the cashew nut. So the cashew nut that we eat is actually not a nut. It's a seed.
That's so weird. And why are they like, why? So why is this so prolific as to be a nut on the same status? Oh my gosh. Excuse me. On the same status as like a peanut.
I don't know. I guess this is the recipe. I guess because it can be made into, it has so many uses, and it, I guess, it all I have on that information is the cashew seed is often considered a nut in the culinary sense.
Well, because, like, do we have a lot of them?
Oh, we should figure out what the definition of a nut is.
Hold on. I'm on this. I'm already on Google.
I'm here, dude. I'm
nut
right there. I'm right
definition.
There.
I'm going to get all of the wrong things.
Wait, a nut is a fruit?
A fruit consisting of a hard or tough shell. What? Where are... All right. Listeners, look. We're already in uncharted territory as the guy who's prepared for the segment has just learned that nuts are fruit.
I didn't know that. That's actually really cool.
That is weird. Wait, so if an apple had a really hard outside, like the skin of an apple was really friggin' hard... Then it'd be a nut.
What it is that how that works?
It says a fruit consisting of a hard or tough outer shell around an edible kernel. Okay, so if apple seeds
it's an inverse.
If apple seeds were edible, then it,
so it's like so okay so a nut is a fruit that rather than having edible outsides and inedible insides, it has inedible outsides, inedible insides?
I guess.
Is a banana a nut?
Okay, I want to talk about something else. Okay, so the dictionary, I googled nut definition, and it came up with a dictionary definition. It came up with number one, the actual nut, and then number two was talking about nuts and bolts. And then it has those under noun. And under verb, it has number one, archaic, gather nuts. Number two, informal British, but parentheses someone, with one's head. What is that? What? to butt someone in the head.
Head butt would be considered
a nut.
Okay.
What? How? British people, help! What?
Okay.
I'm so confused. Anyway, let's get back to cashews.
Anyway, so the cashew fruit.
Yeah. Well, is it? Hold on. Because it already has a fruit. I'm so confused. Are there two fruits that come from the cashew tree?
Well, the thing is, the cashew isn't actually a nut. It's a seed.
Yeah, but it's a... Okay, all right. So it's a seed
but
for...
It's only considered a nut in the culinary sense, because I guess it's similar in properties to a nut. But if you think about it, too, if you've ever had a cashew...
Which I have.
Yeah, which compared to... There is a distinct difference
between a
normal nut and a cashew.
It's like smoother. It's a lot softer. Yeah. It's almost milkier.
Well, that's the thing. You can actually make cashew cheese and cashew butter.
Oh, my gosh. I want cashew cheese.
Yeah. I've heard cashew... it's like a... It's... If you're trying to eat healthier, there's like a cashew like butter or spread that you can make that can be the base of both sweet and savory dishes.
The cashew is so versatile. Why do we not use the cashew in more things?
Well, we do. But the thing is, it's tough to get because it's a seed. There's one seed, and you see the fruits. They're big.
Yeah, they're really big. So
that whole fruit is one seed.
So here in America, the cashew is actually pretty prolific. I would say after the peanut and like maybe almonds, the cashew is up there with the best of them. You know,
it's also expensive.
Where do you live? Because where I'm at, the cashews just as expensive as, or actually more expensive than like almonds, or
yeah, almonds are expensive too.
Yeah,
where do almonds come from? Is this a rabbit hole?
This is a rabbit. Down? Where do?
And that's the first Alice in Wonderland reference. So let's mark that for everyone here who's here for Alice in Wonderland podcast.
The almond, the first, Prunus dulcus, is a species of tree native to Iran and surrounding countries, but widely cultivated elsewhere. The almond is also the name of the edible and widely cultivated seed of this tree. Oh, so the almond is the tree, as well as the... This is... What is happening? So there's... If you...
I'm glad I picked this topic. This is,
yeah, this is great. So if you say a cashew, technically you mean a cashew seed. And if you say an almond, technically you mean also an almond seed. What?
I guess so. By the way, I am starting a tally for Alice in Wonderland reference.
Okay.
On this podcast.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so neither this is ruining my concept of nuts. So neither cashews nor almonds are nuts. They're both seeds.
Yeah.
What are peanuts? Okay. Are
that is a good
peanuts
question,
seeds? True to the legume family. Oh, legume is an awesome family to be a part of.
Legume.
A peanut is composed of an edible seed. What? What?
It's a seed to what, though?
It grows inside...
A peanut plant. I do remember this. I only know this because of SpongeBob.
Wait, no, explain.
Remember the episode of SpongeBob where he's trying to make the sundae?
I have not... besides in the doctor's office waiting in the little kids area, I have not watched SpongeBob.
Okay, well, for those who have watched SpongeBob, the episode where he gets really bad breath, he has a peanut plant.
Okay. I'm going to pretend that I know what you're talking about. Okay, yeah.
Okay, yep, so yep. I do remember that, yeah.
Okay. So, okay. You won't find a peanut growing on a tree as you would with almonds or cashews. It grows under the soil, originating from a bush-like creeping plant. Creeping plant?
So we want peanut plant.
look up a peanut. What is this? Is the ladies and gentlemen, first episode in, we're already on a Google rabbit hole. Peanut plant.
Yeah. Oh, it's the like the base of the plant itself.
Why is it a creeping
plant? And so you like,
is it because it like is it because like the seeds go out from underneath it?
I'll send you a diagram. No, it looks like the peanuts themselves. The nuts themselves are like the roots.
Yeah, they're the roots. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Yeah.
So wait, so does that mean that peanuts and potatoes are the same thing?
Oh my gosh, hold on. Next thing. Are peanuts and potatoes? Oh my gosh, that's a subject. Related. It's an actual thing. Hold on. I screwed up. All right. Are peanuts and potatoes related? Nope, it's only talking about it in... That's so disappointing. Wait. Typical misconceptions of how peanuts grow, place them on trees, or growing as a part of a root, like potatoes. But it's actually... nut. Is in the tip of the... What? This is so confusing. Okay, so a peanut's not a potato. We can, even though they look the same, we can get that out of here. But... So far, Zach.
A peanut's not a potato. This is where we're at. A peanut is not a potato. We discovered it, everyone. Right, we cracked the case.
Is that the name of this episode? A peanut is not a potato?
Yeah, it should be.
I'm going to write that down. But, okay, Zach, yeah. So we can get that all out of here. Hold on. A peanut is not a potato? Okay, so far, Zach, we are 0-3 for peanuts or for nuts being nuts and not seeds. Okay, think of another nut, and I'm gonna see if it's a seed.
Darn, I had one.
Pistachios?
Pistachio. Okay. Yeah.
Is a pistachio a seed?
What kind of types of nuts?
The fruit is a drupe.
What?
Okay, that's the first word on Wikipedia. The fruit is a drupe containing an elongated seed. Oh my gosh, which is the edible portion. The seed, commonly thought of as a nut, is a culinary nut, not a botanical nut. What's a botanical nut? Okay.
So wait, if nuts are seeds.
Nuts are seeds.
Okay, so what? Peanuts
are not potatoes.
Nuts versus seeds versus legumes. So what is the difference?
Nuts are seeds. But Zach, remember, peanuts are not potatoes.
I can't. What is a botanical nut? Okay, all right. So,
a true nut, botanically speaking, is a hard-shelled pod that contains both the fruit and the seed of the plant, where the fruit does not open to release the seed to the world. Some examples of botanical nuts are chestnuts, hazelnuts, and acorns.
Wait, so technically it says, I'm reading something right here, it says technically nuts are the hard-shelled fruit of certain plants.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're not seeds, they're fruit.
Oh my gosh. Nuts are fruit.
Okay.
Hold on, we need to start writing facts down. Okay, so peanuts are not potatoes. Nuts are fruit. And nuts are seeds. We're getting to the bottom of this, Zach. Okay, all right, so let's go. Do you want to jump back to cashews?
Yeah, okay. we're going.
We've gotten to the bottom of where cashew comes from. Okay, Zach, drop some more cashew facts on me.
Let's see. Well, first, the cashew production. The highest cashew-producing country in the world is Vietnam.
Okay.
Followed by India. And then followed by, essentially the Philippines.
Okay.
Next.
None of these are, if it's used to a certain climate, that makes sense. It's all kind of similar area.
So that's why I believe, if I remember correctly, the skin of the fruit itself is too thin. So it can't be transported, which is why none of us have ever tried.
Oh, really? It just decomposes before it gets here?
Yep. They can be eaten fresh. They can be fermented into an alcoholic drink, and if you do so, and the alcohol content ends up being like 40 to 42%.
Wow.
So that's 80. That's 80 proof alcohol from cashews.
That's insane. So cashews are both a fruit, a seed, and an alcohol.
And now I want to try this. So that's the thing. And I want
to. So you can
see
get the alcohol here because they can transport that in, presumably.
Maybe, yeah. No, it says It says that the.
Imagine if it's an 80 proof alcohol that actually tastes amazing because it's from cashews.
Yeah.
That would be so crazy. This is insanity.
Yeah, so that's, you know, and then you have cashew oil.
You have to
roast the cashew. You have to roast the cashew nuts outside.
What?
Because if you roast it inside, there's like a toxicity to the outside of it.
All right, so if I were to cook. So if I get raw cashews from the store,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to cook them for whatever reason, so that I could have cooked cashews, mm-hmm. I would have to cook them outside?
Yeah, because if you roast them inside, the smoke goes up, and then
Does the smoke go down outside? It goes into the ground?
It goes into the ground, yeah. No, the thing is, the smoke is carrying all, like, the toxic allergenic oil, which is supposed to be related to poison ivy.
Oh, okay. So
it has that sort of like oil on the front. So you bake that off, and when you roast it off, the smoke carries it up. Well, what happened was people were trying to do that inside. They bake it, smoke goes up, hits the ceiling, falls back down to the people.
And then do they have poison ivy lungs? Like, what happens?
And they have poison ivy. And in some cases, if people are really have an allergy to it, it's actually considered life-threatening.
Oh my gosh. Well, I am like...
So I wonder how many people have died from cashews.
I'm so curious. I'm glad to know that because I am actually like super allergic to poison ivy. I actually have like a little story. You ready for Dante story time?
Yeah.
Okay. So one of my first job actually was a landscaping job where we were paid to mow properties and stuff. So we had like this lake that we would do, and it was super overgrown. So we just weed whacked the whole thing. And at some point I weed whacked poison ivy onto my arms. And then I was using the weed whacker wrong. So it was bumping against my arm and making it swell. So I wrapped up my arm to try to keep it from, to try to, you know, help it. And I ended up wrapping, unbeknownst to me, poison ivy, and then wrapping my arm, basically, keeping the poison ivy in.
Oh, crap.
It's not very good. And then I ended up getting a huge outbreak to the point where I basically had bubbles, like huge bubbles, probably about like a couple centimeters tall, along my arm.
Holy.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks of agony, basically. But I had the wherewithal not to scratch it. But it was horrible. And I basically got bubbles full of, like, gross poison ivy juice. I still have scars. It's really bad.
Holy crap, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, and to be clear, I'm on a list right now of 11 deadly foods that could kill you.
And one of them is cashews?
And it's more deadly than mushrooms or cherry stones.
Okay. What are cherry stones? I've never heard of that before.
I don't know either.
What are... Hold on. Google. What are...
Oh, they're the pits. They're the pits of cherries. Oh, okay. It's just called...
Cherry stones.
Yeah, apparently people chew on them, which is weird.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, cashew nuts are apparently more deadly than that.
They're more deadly than... That's so weird. What is...
But then again, kidney beans are more deadly than...
Wait,
than
what?
Cashews. Yeah.
Hold on.
Look. They contain a high level of... making them toxic... Cooking the beans thoroughly can throw the poison, but eating... What? But eating a few undercooked beans can cause nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea.
Is that why people...
The U.S. FDA advised boiling for 30 minutes complete breakdown of toxins.
Hold on.
Can kidney beans
hold on. Does that... Is this... Zach, have we cracked the mystery as to why beans make you fart?
No, actually, there's a different reason.
Okay,
because
I was about to be like, have we just figured out why most people have a problem with beans?
Dante, I kid you not. I want to tell you the next one on the list is potatoes.
Oh my god, are you serious?
After that, the one directly after that is peanuts.
Oh my gosh! Wait, both these are facts.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
I'll send you the article so you can see this.
Okay. No.
Because it's potatoes and then peanuts.
All right. Well. At least we know the facts are not related because we know that peanuts are not potatoes. Okay. So, hold on. Let's jump into this next one. Give me the next one.
The next which one?
The next fact. The potatoes.
Potatoes? Alright. Don't eat green potatoes. The green part contains a poison called
I thought these were the next facts you had about cashews and it was somehow related to potatoes and it just blew my mind.
No, I was saying that the potatoes on the list of
deadly
foods
things
that can kill you, the next one was potato.
Rhubarb.
And the one after that was peanuts.
Why is rhubarb on here?
Yeah.
What is happening?
I don't know, dude.
Why can potatoes
also,
kill you?
I'm not sure if we can I don't know if we can trust this site anymore because now I'm now reading. The last one is bagels.
What?
I don't know.
What is happening? Okay, this is from theculturetrip.com. And it... Okay, so, guys, let's just... Okay, so the last couple...
Oh, they're saying the ones that caught the food that causes the most amount of injuries. And bagels are injuries or deadly incidents.
Because people
and
cut off their fingers.
And bagels are the highest because they cut themselves with a knife.
Why hot dogs? Okay. Hot dogs are a choking hazard.
Nope. You're definitely either eating the hot dog wrong,
someone,
or you're doing something else with it if you're choking on your hot dog. It's
John Hopkins University reported that hot dogs are the number one cause of choking-related injuries in children under 3. Why would you not cut them into bite-sized pieces for a child? Also, if you can hear my dog running around in the background, I apologize. He has energy for some reason. Why would you?
So we got to try. I think our next thing is we have to try cashew alcohol.
Yeah. I guess so. We'll have to find some. All right. I need to get off this site because this is far too interesting. Also, my faith in Americans has gone down yet again because we let children choke on full hot dogs because why? I've never, ever, ever seen anyone give a child a full hot dog. They always cut it up. It's so...
yeah.
Anyway, Zach, do you have any more facts about cashews?
Yeah, a bottle of cashew alcohol called Fenny. And it goes, and it's, you can get a 750 milliliter bottle for $26, as I am looking at right now.
Oh, okay. Well, clearly we're trying that.
Also says delivery in 60 minutes or less, which I don't.
That's terrifying. Wait, 60 minutes?
I don't know what that means. Yeah.
What? Okay, all right, Zach, hold on. We're going on another tangent, but this is a business-related tangent. We're no longer are we on fruits and seeds and potatoes, all right? So we're going to go on a tangent. If you were to make a business that could deliver within 60 seconds, how would you do it, given all the resources in the world?
Given all the resources in the world, I just hire everyone.
Okay. All right. Given all the resources in the world except manpower.
All right.
You have, like, a regular crew, but you have all of, like, machinery that you could want.
All right. Ballistic missiles with the item attached.
Hit the house?
Hit the house. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I was thinking like drones or something, but sure. All right. No, I've got a better idea. So ballistic missiles, but they have a drill on the end and they drill underneath and they pop up inside your house from underneath the ground.
And then they hand you the present and then they explode.
And then they leave. Yeah. It's like a hedgehog, but worse.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love this.
Cool. that's terrifying though. How would an alcohol company get it to you? All right, I live in the middle of nowhere, Michigan. Does that mean they have stores like warehouses every like so many miles? What?
Yes, the answer is yes.
Or they're lying. It's clearly the first one. Oh my gosh. Okay, do you have any more facts? How much do you know about cashews?
More than most.
More than one should.
More than one should, yeah. And that's the reason why is there was a Tobuscus, if anyone remembers.
Oh my god.
He wrote a song. And he had wrote a song and he had the fact that cashews come from a fruit. And I was like, I couldn't believe it.
so I went on a rabbit hole.
And I looked it up like a long time ago, and I know all these weird facts about cashews.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, how many of these facts are new? How many of these facts have you learned because of this episode?
Probably the alcohol,
okay.
Mainly.
Okay.
And then the nut and seed thing blew my mind.
That was... Zach, nuts are seeds.
Mm-hmm.
This is insane. All right, so
potatoes aren't peanuts.
But potatoes are not peanuts, or peanuts are not potatoes. I'm so sorry, I got the fact wrong.
Get together.
So clearly, whenever we have a guest on sometime in the future, we're gonna start it with just know that peanuts are not potatoes. Okay. Do you have any more facts, or should we move on?
No, I think that's good.
That's good.
I think
we all right, did it. Listeners. Yeah. No, nuts are seeds. Seeds are fruit, and peanuts are not potatoes.
I think we've all learned.
We've all learned something. And with that, before the next segment, I'm going to go take my dog out real quick.
All right,
I'll be back in a second.
All right.
You ready for...
That was fun.
That was fun. All right, you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next segment. Zach, what's our next segment?
All right, our next segment is Opinionated.
If you don't understand my opinion, well, it's just because I'm smarter than you. I'm more evolved. I understand the subtleties. My opinion ain't opinion, it's truth.
And
enter theme song.
And in Opinionated, we pick something that is generally polarizing and we talk about it because we have opinions too. Zach, what are we talking about today?
All right, this week we're talking about we are discussing which one is better, theater or film.
Okay, now we have opinions. Do you want to give a background first, or are we just going to jump into it?
No, we'll just jump right into it. And it'll come out after the arguing.
Okay,
and
let's
slurs.
Let's jump into it with radical statements. Film is so much better than theater.
Theater's okay.
Oh, that's good.
No.
Radical statements right out the gate.
Yeah, no. All right, now you make your argument first, because I
want to
hear what your point is.
So, I am a film person. Anybody who knows me or has been following my podcast career knows that. And I just, I know a lot about film. I like making film, and I like dissecting film. I like talking about it. Theater is something that I can appreciate the art of and appreciate the mastery of, but I never lose myself watching a play like I do a movie. And I don't know if that's a fault of mine or if I'm watching theater incorrectly, but I've never been able to.
You're arguing for film, so just be like, you know, this is where you just attack. It's like, theater's
fault. No, okay. So theater is like going into an art gallery and looking at a beautiful painting. It's like I can look at that over there and I can appreciate that over there, but I don't really understand it. I can never really do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but my argument is that
I'm talking about my experience.
The thing is, we can do film, and you can do film the same way you do theater. So if you're not connecting with theater, but you connect with film, then I think the disconnect is you, and it depends on what story. And I've argued this too, that if you're going to theater and you have no idea what you're doing, right? So if you're a film person and you've never seen a theater production before and you want to get involved, do not go to Shakespeare the first day unless your favorite thing to watch is period pieces. Don't go to Shakespeare. Like, just don't watch Hamlet. You'll be bored. You won't know what's going on. Just find a theater production that you enjoy.
Okay. So, okay. So Zach and I went to the same college for a little while. And that college put on a production of A Christmas Carol, and it was awesome. I loved that production. I watched it and I loved it. However, I never lost myself in it like I do watching Muppet Christmas Carol or even one of the live action or one of the normal Christmas carols.
No, I would argue two things about that really quick. It's one, you, I think there are some productions that you're supposed to lose yourself and some productions you're not. And two, theater, I think in general, I don't think you're supposed to lose yourself.
Okay. See, if that's the case, then maybe I do appreciate theater, because like I watched A Christmas Carol and I really enjoyed it. I loved the, specifically they really worked really hard. Zach was part of the production on this one. Worked really hard on the Marley scene, and it was terrifying. It was awesome. They did an amazing job, and it looked really cool. But
I remember the actor who played Marley. We worked closely because I was doing his special effects. I was doing his sound and his some of the lighting. And the actor came up to me, and he goes, "All I want is to make one little kid. If I get that, it would have all been worth it."
And he did, right?
And then, of course. Yeah, we got a couple screaming little
kids. Nice.
There was a point in the production where I had like bells going off, and I was doing the sounds. I had him like laughing and screaming and wailing, and at one point I had Carol of the Bells sung backwards. And at one point my the director comes up to me and goes, "Yes, this is still a family production."
That's awesome. Yeah, it was great. It was really cool. But like part of it might just be that I don't have interest, because I think there's more to be done with film, because theater is limited to the stage. And because of that, you know, you could do a lot of really cool things with that depending on your budget, or if you want to go minimalist, there's a lot of cool things you could do, but you're still limited by the stage. Or even just the theater that you're in, because sometimes they're interactive with the audience or whatever. But right. For me, there's more opportunities with film, and I would rather go lose myself in a film than go watch a play.
No, I would argue that theater is like, I've compared theater, when you're creating, theater is a campfire, film is an oven, right? You can in film, you can set things, you can prep it, and your final product is the final product you expect, pretty much. You know, it might still suck, but it's...
There's a lot of variables, but yeah, that could be, you know, you made the recipe wrong.
Right. If you made the wrong recipe, it's not the oven's fault, unless it's usually you did something, you set a setting too high or too low. A campfire doesn't give you that result, but you remember a campfire. A campfire is an event. A campfire is alive. It's got a life to it, and that's what theater is so cool. That's why theater is so cool. Every production, you can go see the same production with the same crew, with the same cast 100 times, and each time is going to be different. Each time, every night is going to be different, and you don't always know what's going to happen. That's one of the cool things about theater. Additionally, you talk about not being immersed in it. There is no fourth wall in theater. There is, but it's constantly broken, and it's and some of the best productions. So, for example, if you ever want to lose yourself in theater, I implore you. It's actually coming out on Broadway right now, I believe, and off Broadway. If you get a chance, go watch Lady in Black. Lady in Black is a fantastic production that incorporates the audience, whether you want to be incorporated or not. It's so good. It's not that you lose yourself. You don't lose that you're sitting in a theater, but sometimes the theater doesn't give you a choice. The theater says, I don't care if you're losing yourself or not, you're now a part of this.
Yeah.
You know, come join us. We're going to make you a part of this whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's what's averting me. I don't know.
it's wildfire, man. It's nuts. And there's so many cool things. And just like,
but
and
maybe,
like I was saying
before. Because that kind of does make sense, though. Because in general, I've noticed that I prefer control over chaos in my life. And so maybe that's why
I don't think anyone would argue that they prefer chaos.
No, if a friend was to show up on my door and I had no idea who was coming, I would be happy that my friend was there to see me, but deep down I would also be irritated that they didn't tell me that they were coming beforehand.
No one likes that.
No, but I'm
no
just
one,
saying
no
that's kind of the same
that.
That's what you're saying with theater is like, you know, whether you like it or not, you're a part of this, and that irks me in every part of my life.
No, but I mean, you still chose. It's not like the theater production showed up at your house.
No, yeah, but like
you and made you a part of.
I chose, but
you still chose to be.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. I don't know. I'm figuring this. We're figuring this out together, audience. I just prefer. Like you said that analogy, and I'm like, yeah, I prefer an oven. Like.
No, I agree to an extent, but there is an appreciation for the wild.
Yeah, and I have.
In general,
I'll
go see film, you know, 10 times more than I'll see theater. But I remember each theater production I've ever seen.
I mean, I guess that's fair. I've been to multiple productions of the same thing though, and I didn't feel like, because it's the same story, it's the same lines.
It's the same lines, same story, but it's told differently. There's different inflections, there's different meanings.
To be fair, the one that I saw multiple times was a Shakespeare that got lost on me every single time. So,
which one was it?
It was Tempest.
Oh, Tempest.
It's a comedy.
Tempest is not a good one to
no,
start.
No, it's a comedy in the old in times, and so it's like half the comedy is lost on the modern audience.
That's Shakespeare. Unless you study Shakespeare, that's Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Tempest, in fact, another thing too is that the actors need, if you can convey Shakespeare to an unlearned audience, if the actors are able, I've seen it. If you ever want to watch Shakespeare, you don't want to study it, you just want to watch Shakespeare, watch the London productions. The London stage productions, or the Globe Theatre productions, either or. because the actors are so talented, they are able to get you to understand what's being said purely by expression and inflection. So if you don't know, if you're new to Shakespeare, but you want to get involved, they have a fantastic, I think it's Measure for Measure. They have a fantastic production of Measure for Measure, which is really, really funny.
Yeah.
Also Twelfth Night. Oh, so there's some of the things they do with Twelfth Night is just fantastic.
Yeah, and I think, like, to be fair, I'm not, like... I'm not like, ugh, theater, go away. You know, like, because I'm married to a theater person. And
you're surrounded by theater.
I'm surrounded by theater people. Yeah, I'm married to a theater person, and my best friend is a theater person. So I'm surrounded by theater people. It's never not gonna be a part of my life. It's just I think I'll always default to film. I think that's just kind of like the way that
I could
conceive of myself working on a play, but I don't think I would get the same enjoyment out of it that I get out of working on a film set.
I can see that, yeah, and I think that does come down to preference. And I, having done both, both are stressful, and you want to die,
yeah,
in both scenarios by the end. But, you know,
it's a similar yet different art form, and I think I just prefer. Like, neither is better than the other. This I wrote this down as theater versus film, not which is better, because clearly neither is better. All art form is valid. All art forms are valid.
You sure about that?
I mean, sure.
Okay.
You want to throw one at me that falls apart?
Oh, God. It depends on what you call art.
Okay.
All
right. Well, you know, listeners, if you want to send some in, let me know, and I'll say this will be a recurring segment. Is it art or not? Dante will tell you if it's art or not. But in the case of theater and film, I think we can both agree that these are both two art forms that are intrinsically linked because they both require actors' performances and their script, and you know, they're similar, but the difference is the camera. In one, you have a camera where you can do multiple takes and you get the one product, and in the other, you have a stage where everything's happening at once and you get multiple different versions depending on what night you go.
Yeah.
So I think ultimately it comes down to a preference, and for me, at least now, people change, but now in my life, I prefer film.
I think if you're looking for, if you've seen film and you enjoy film, but you want something that's a little bit less controlled, a little bit more anything can happen, theater is the way to go. And just go, don't think Shakespeare.
Yeah, I was going to say also.
Shakespeare's great, but go see, you know, 39 Steps. Go see Peter and the Star Catcher. Go see Lady in Black.
Yeah, I was going
to. If you're going to see Shakespeare for the first time, go see Titus Andronicus. And just be horrified.
Well, I was going to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but my kind of understanding so far is that you get more out of it when you know the play. I would say the opposite for Lady in Black. Don't know what's going on with Lady in Black.
Don't research Lady in Black. Just go. See it,
but Lady in Black, I think, is one of very few exceptions because I enjoyed A Christmas Carol so much because I knew the story enough that I could appreciate everything else about it. I wasn't trying to follow
exactly.
I really liked Peter and the Starcatcher that the school also put on. But I didn't know what the story was, and because of that, I was lost sometimes. But there were huge sets and everything, and that was kind of, I was trying to appreciate that while at the same time keeping up with the story, and that was a little difficult sometimes because I wasn't sure what was going on.
Yeah, and it was very abstract. The whole design was, it was ingenious, really. But the whole design was, it was kids playing Peter Pan.
Yeah, so they had like umbrellas, and they were meant to be like weapons and stuff, and it was really cool.
Yeah,
but I feel like some part of it was lost on me because I didn't know the story, and I was trying to keep up with both the story and this really cool set production. And
that's why people tell you if you go see a theater production, go back the next night. Never see a theater production just once. You have to go back a couple times.
Yeah, see, that's fair. And I only saw that once.
Right. And it helps to know. It helps to know what's going on.
Because my favorite, I think, across the board so far has been A Christmas Carol. That's because I love The Christmas Carol. I know exactly what that story is. I've seen multiple interpretations because my dad went on a bender for a couple years where we just watched every version of The Christmas Carol. And guess what? Muppet Christmas Carol is still the best.
it is. It is. It has the best Scrooge.
It has the best
Charles Dickens.
I watched one with...
It's easily the best Charles Dickens I've ever seen in a
Christmas
Carol.
I watched one with... I watched the Patrick Stewart one, and that one was interesting but confusing. The only one I haven't seen is the animated one from Disney from like 2013 or whatever with Jim Carrey.
With Jim Carrey, yeah. Have you seen the Scrooge McDuck version?
Or that. I haven't seen that. I've seen all the live-action versions.
I've seen Scrooged.
All right. Bill Murray. All right, Zach, look, I'm going to, by all, okay, I made a statement just now. It was a false statement.
Have you seen the Doctor Who special?
Yes, I have.
Have you read it?
I've seen most of the Doctor Who. Up until, like, Capaldi's last season, I saw, like, all of Doctor Who, besides the old stuff.
That's right, we never talk about this for some reason.
Doctor Who is a future episode, because we've seen a lot of Doctor Who together. What I meant was my dad likes old films, so we saw everything in the past. Patrick Stewart's one came out in like the 70s, I want to say, or 80s or something like that. It was right around Next Generation. And then even before that, we saw a couple that I just don't remember because they were super boring. So
there are a few that are really good.
I really appreciated.
There are a few where, you know, he goes a Christmas present, he opens up his room,
yeah,
and it's like,
yeah,
there are kids, and it's just like, I understand what you're going for, but...
Is Scrooge McDuck Disney or Looney Tunes?
Disney.
Okay, because I've seen a Looney Tunes version where it's Daffy Duck.
I've seen
that one. That one was weird. I didn't like it.
Tasmanian Devil is the Ghost of Christmas Future, I think.
Is he really? I don't remember that far.
Yeah,
I don't remember that far. I watched it a while ago. But anyway, so I really appreciated the Christmas Carol production, though, because I knew the story in and out. I love that story, and because of that, I could appreciate everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So what we landed on is clearly film is better. No, I'm kidding.
No.
Yeah.
What we landed on is, it's understandable if you like film better, but give theater a shot.
Film is more accessible.
Learn about the film. Yeah.
Especially in our
film's more accessible.
Current day and age.
Yeah, film's more accessible, but I believe that you can gain more by going to go see a theater production. If you go in knowing what's about, go in for something you like. If you like action films, you're not going to watch a... You wouldn't... If you know someone who's never seen a film, but they like action, you wouldn't show them a romance to start.
Yeah.
So don't go watch Romeo and Juliet to start if you're not into that kind of thing.
And also, if you like horror... Do not research it. Just go watch Lady in Black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Horror/thriller, but yeah.
No, it's good. It's so good. I mean, I built floor plan. I drew floor plans for a design that your wife was going
to put on. Yep, yeah. She really wanted to, but the school wouldn't let her.
No, it wasn't the school wouldn't let her. Someone owned a license. They were not letting people.
Oh, yeah. Has that since
and
expired?
And they're just now. No. They're just now doing it. They waited 3 years. They signed it for 3 years.
Jeez.
Yep.
Anyway, so. Yeah, you can check that out. But I think we've ended in a good place.
Yeah.
You ready for the final segment, Zach?
Yes, I am. All right. This is Ruminations, the final segment where we kind of wind down, talk about any fact we want from culture or pop culture.
Does it bother anybody else? Do the bad guys in Power Rangers always come back 100 times bigger, and it's rarely explained? Like in the first one or two, there'll be a scroll or a spell that'll bring those bad guys all the way back from hell as a massive kaiju. But after that, they never bother. It just becomes the norm, man. When it comes to Power Rangers, what's going on?
Dante, why don't you start?
Well, is this fact? Because I thought we were talking about potentially opinions as well.
No, it's whatever.
Yeah, like a topic. I would put forward that Iron Man 3 is a good movie in an alternate universe.
Expound upon that.
Okay, so this is something, when we were coming up with the idea of this podcast, Zach kept tossing around Iron Man 3 in this segment, so I kept thinking about it. Iron Man 3, I think, is it's good, I think. It's not great, and the villain is not very good. But I think in an alternate universe where Iron Man's story actually ended there, or we actually picked up from that spot, it's actually a good movie, because in Age of Ultron, they just completely forget about that, and they just pick up as if Iron Man 3 never happened. And so Iron Man 3 kind of feels like a black sheep in and amongst the MCU.
Mm. Yeah, they love doing that. And yeah, no, I'm with you. And I think in a universe where people didn't care about the Mandarin as much. the movie's perfect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. I liked that twist, but
I did too. I thought it was great.
And all those people are fine because Mandalorian, the real one's coming back anyway, so who cares? But I think in another universe, because Iron Man 3 is not any. I would say that Iron Man 3 is better than Iron Man 2, and it's on par with most of Phase 2, because Phase 2 was pretty crap.
Except, remember, Phase 2 had Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, but it also had Thor 2.
Iron Man 3.
Yeah, it had Iron Man 3, Thor 2.
Age of Ultron. Ant-Man?
It had Ant-Man. I like Ant-Man. Good.
Yeah.
But most people don't. But anyway, so I think in an alternate universe where either he's not there for Age of Ultron or they have to pull him out of retirement or something, but they actually take the ending of his story from Iron Man 3 seriously. And, I mean, it would end up changing Endgame dramatically. But, you know, I think that in an alternate universe, Iron Man 3 is a good movie. But because of the fact that it's in this universe that ignores it as a film, it's not very good.
It's not a satisfying ending when you see him what seems like a week later with the rest of the Avengers.
Yep, and he's got all his suits again. And didn't Joss Whedon say he didn't even watch Iron Man 3?
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't. You can't do Avengers 2.
Well, Iron Man 3 came out, like, right before Avengers, yeah, so.
Yeah, no, Iron Man 3 came out after Avengers 1.
No, right before Avengers 2, didn't it?
Yeah, so yeah, you can't.
But it's weird
that. After the success of Avengers, you can't do Avengers 2 and go, yeah, we're just not going to have Iron Man.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. So it was poor planning, but I think Shane Black did a decent job with what he was David.
He does some movies good, and he does some movies very, very badly.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's my fact.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
All right. that's your fact.
You can't say no because it's an alternate universe, so who knows?
There you go. Truth is relative. Actually, here's a little throw out. If existence is real, then truth can't be relative. Just throwing that out there because there can't be existence. Anyway, it's fine. It's basically a brain teaser. If you want to say that truth is relative, you have to stare existence in the face and then say you don't exist, which you can do. I don't know where you go from there, but you can do it. More power to you. That's not my fact. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, it's good for when we have a guest on because I agree with you there. So if we had a guest that disagreed, then it would be a good talking point.
Well, it's a little bit cognitive. It's a little bit cognitive dissonance because people they say that and they use it when they want to, but they don't think it through.
Yeah,
and most of the time it's harmless, but sometimes it's like it's not the most. Anyway, it's a whole thing. It's more of a philosophy thing than anything else. Anyway, so my fact from culture this week is that did you know? Actually, I'm just gonna tell you a story about Robert the Bruce.
About who? Sorry.
Who, if you don't know, it was the. Hold on, one second. Who, if you don't know, he was the Scottish king who took the throne, who fought the war for Scottish independence after William Wallace died, took up the cause and took the throne. There's a story about it in the Battle of, is it Bannockburn? I'm going to say the name wrong, but it was a crucial battle. It was Bannock something. I don't remember off the top of my head. He was talking up his troops. It was the first major battle where Bruce met the enemy on a field. And up to this point, he had been running around and doing guerrilla tactic warfare and had been working really well. Because of his brother making a mistake and capturing a castle rather than just burning it down like they had been doing, they were forced to make a stand. So he's talking up his troops, and he's not wearing armor, right? And the British cavalry see this. The British cavalry see him not wearing armor, and one of the lords spots him, charges forward, right? So he's sitting there on his horse, he was on a smaller horse. He was on like a smaller, lighter, I think it might have even been a pony. So he's sitting there back to the guy who's charging him, sitting there waiting with his hand. All he had was a hand axe. He's talking to his troops. The knight comes charging down. And at the last second, Bruce moves out of the way and catches the guy in the helmet with his axe, cleaving his helmet in two, killing him. And he like breaks his axe, and all the all the men are freaking out and cheering, and everyone's and that was like this great morale booster for all the Scottish men. And as he gets back to the tent, all he comments about is that all he comments on is that he's really disappointed that his axe broke. and to this day, people are, you know, it was like, oh, what an amazing situation. And everyone's like, no, he did that on purpose. Because why would you as the king, why would you go out, talk to your men without armor on?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? You know, it was like, it was very specifically designed to be a morale booster. And it worked out. And it worked out fantastic. And they won the battle and drove the British away. And that was like the turning point. That was...
That's both a morale booster and an intimidation tactic.
Oh my god, yeah. All the other knights. Just like, yeah, Bruce. And Bruce, the thing is, he can be a controversial figure in history depending on which side you're on. But if you're on the side of the British, you tend to be the villains anyway. say what you want about Bruce, but he was hardcore, man. He, like, unless all the stories are lies, which I tend to believe they're not, he was just, like, this hot-tempered, hardy, you know, like, extremely, powerful guy. Like, he had some amazing feats of warfare, both tactically and physically. He was able to, like, there are so many stories of him fighting off and killing three men, like, three on one. And just being, like, this ferocious dog and just, like, ripping them apart. Until the last one is, like, running away because he's seeing him stab the other one to death. And he chases him down and... Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, Bruce is, Bruce is an intense figure in history, to be sure.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's... I think you've told me that story before, but it's still, like, insane. That's a it's an amazing story. Yeah.
Yeah. Robert Bruce isn't paid attention to enough. I don't think he gets the same.
Well, yeah, the Netflix movie.
He doesn't get the same attention as Wallace, and I think he deserves more. In fact, the Constitution, not the Constitution, I'll save that. I'm going to save that for another day. But
okay.
The American system of government is based a lot more on the deeds of Robert Bruce from 400 years prior, more so than people realize.
Hmm.
So I'll talk more about that later.
That is an interesting rumination. But unfortunately, Zach, I believe ruminations are over, even though that was really interesting. But yeah, no, that is really, really cool. But with that tease, I think we'll bring it to a close. And that's the end of the podcast, Zach.
Hey, we did it. We made it to the end.
We did a podcast.
We talked about cashews.
We did talk about cashews. Zach, do you remember our most important fact from this episode?
Yeah. Peanuts are not
there
potatoes.
There we go. That's the one.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so if you want to reach us, we don't currently have social media, but we will get that up soon. So I'll probably record a little afterlude sometime in the future. And if you want to check out our other shows, we both are part of a show that's currently going on called Are We Rolling, which is a D&D podcast that takes more pop culture elements. Yeah, if you want to check that out, you can go do so.
Yeah, this coming episode, this Friday, I actually come back. I'm back and I'm here to stay for the rest of the episode.
I think it'll be fun. Currently it's villains. We got Zach on, I'm the DM, and we got some other people that are also in there. If you have any...
Carlisle, who did the music for this episode, he plays a wonderful Voldemort.
He does, he plays an amazing Voldemort. I'm sure we will have Carlisle on this podcast because he is perfect for this kind of podcast, so we'll get him on at some point. If you have any suggestions, let us know. If you have any suggestions for topics, with that, I think we'll say goodbye. See you next time.
La 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 la. This is the end. Nice.